From Iowa Public Radio News, I'm Ben Kiefer. This is The Exchange. This hour, we discuss the world of retail religion. Everything from games to Jesus action figures and more Monopoly. My guest will include Professor Nikki Bedo of Iowa State University, author of Toying with God, The World of Religious Games and Dolls, Mindy Utermarkt, owner of Stepping Stones Christian Bookstore in Grinnell and Marshalltown, and later in the hour, we'll ask Bob Stouffer, superintendent of Des Moines Christian School, how this is affecting children and changing the face of faith. Do you worry about the commercialization of religion? Join our discussion after this news. This is The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thank you for joining us over the noon hour. The demand for religious games and toys is growing. This hour, we want to find out what kind of faith-based games and toys are out there and what's driving the demand. Joining our discussion, first of all, Nikki Bedo is with us. She's an associate professor and director of the Religious Studies Program at Iowa State University and author of the new book, Toying with God, The World of Religious Games and Dolls, co-authored with Rebecca Sachs Norris. Nikki Bedo joins us from the studios of Iowa Public Radio in Ames. Good afternoon to you.
Hi, Ben. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you on the program again. So in researching this book, it's been enjoyable to read some of your book here. You came across some startling examples of retail religion. Start off by giving us a few of your favorite examples.
Oh, boy, where do I start? It's like asking someone to pick their favorite child. I think that I still hold a fondness for the game More Monopoly, which is how I got interested in all of this way back when. I get a lot of interesting mail sometimes as a religious studies prof, and I got a catalog one day in the mail right before Christmas, which had all kinds of things in it, and one of them was the game More Monopoly. And first I thought it was a joke. But I looked at the catalog more closely, and I found out that it was a real game. And I thought, wow, what a great game to order for the religious studies majors to play. And that was only the beginning. And I found out that there are a lot of board games out there from almost every religion. We have games from Judaism like Kosher Land. We have...
And that one, I understand, is a lot like Candyland.
Like Candyland, yeah.
Except, I'm seeing here, except gefilte fishing substitutes for the visits to the ice cream sea.
And then we have Trivial Pursuits type games like Race to the Hajj. And we've got Buddha Wheel, which is a real favorite of mine. It's an educational game that's, I think it's a lot of fun to play. That really works well in classrooms, in college classrooms, to teach students about some of the basic ideas of a religious tradition.
Mm-hmm. I see also Race to Kaaba.
Race to the Kaaba.
To the Kaaba, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I said Race to the Hajj earlier. It's Race to the Kaaba.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, which is the Hajj, and then there's the Hajj fun game. My co-author, Rebecca, has a lot of the games. We have similar games. We both have some of the same games, but she has a lot of games that I don't. She was able to find some leads for them up in the Boston area more readily than I was able to track them down here in the middle of Iowa.
What about some of the toys on the toy side away from the board
game? The toys are great. One of my favorite toys is the Job with Boils action figure. Which is, it comes in both light and dark, believe it or not. Rebecca ordered the light one.
So describe it, please.
Well, it's a small little action figure with sores, horrible sores on its body. They don't leak or anything, thank goodness. But
that will be the deluxe edition in the future,
exactly,
probably.
Exactly. Actually, I wonder what happened to train up a child because I haven't been able to find it online. I was going to order a figure with the a light figure with the boils, because they show up better on the light version than they do on the dark version. And when I ordered my dark version in, it disappeared. I don't know what happened to it.
Well, we have, Professor Beto, we have a little bit of audio here. This is some audio from the Moses action figure.
Oh, good.
And this is Moses reciting at least a few of the Ten Commandments. Moses action figure. Let's listen in. So the Moses action figure there with some of the Ten Commandments, we get the idea. So this is educational. We're imagining a young child listening to that and hearing it many, many times along with the rest of the family.
Right, right.
And learning it that way.
Right. It's sometimes I think that toy makers might be a wee bit idealistic about how children will play with their toys. I mean, on the One to Believe website, they had a scenario which imagined parents playing with their children, and in this case with the David and Goliath story, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sitting down with their child, and now let's find out what happens, and pressing the little button right on the back of David.
And then you don't think that matches up too well with how kids really play with toys.
Oh, kids do all kinds of really strange things with their toys. Let's face it, they do all kinds of really strange things. If you look at the kinds of things that both girls and boys do to Barbies, you find a very wide range of possibilities. And so we were imagining at one point, you know, what would happen with the talking Virgin Mary and the talking Esther and the talking Moses and the talking Jesus dolls, is that as they enter the rest of the toy box and mingle with the other dolls, do our new scenario spun? I mean, do we have Virgin Mary astronaut princess at some point? In the child's imagination. So
you mentioned earlier that you thought more Monopoly was a joke when you first got the flyer or whatever came in the mail for you. But in looking and in surveying some of this, that would be my question: is how do you separate the real, serious, religious, educational material that's out there from the novelty stuff, from the pure joke stuff? Here is an example of the Jesus action figure used for joke purposes. This is something we found on the YouTube, and we'll play just a little bit of this. Perhaps you've heard this, Professor Beto. Let's listen.
Jesus Christ is here!
Introducing the Jesus Christ action figure with walk-on-water action!
I'm Jesus, King of the Jews!
You're not the King of the Jews!
Watch out, Jesus! It's a trap!
Crucify him!
So some high production values, but that, Nikki Beto, is a joke, right? Tell me it is.
Oh, you're going to get no reassurances from me.
You're not quite sure yourself.
Nope. I'm willing to leave it open to interpretation.
Okay. So you ask in your book, I think an important question, you said, why do so many of us have a sense of discomfort or unease about the association of religion with play, with commerce, with other worldly activities? Many of us had a sense of discomfort hearing that, right?
Yeah, sure.
So what's going on?
Well, I think part of it is the way in which Western culture formed. Here in the West, we tend to have a big, heavy line between play and some other aspects of our lives which we count as more serious, for example, religion. And to some people, religion is indeed a very serious business. It's life and death and beyond. It's tied up with the questions of identity, of who you are and how you live your life. And for some of those folks, any kind of hint of play and commerce and other kinds of secular or more consider to be more secular activities are, you know, very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. They're not quite sure how to reconcile these things. But if you really look at the history of religion and play, and also if you look outside of the West, you find that religion and play and commerce have been old friends for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Stretching back to when? Ancient times.
Oh, ancient times, definitely. You find in ancient Greece, you find dolls that were used in religious services, ritual services, and then given to children to play with, to teach them about the religious services. You find games and dolls being used in Japan. You find games and dolls used in Egypt, just all over the place. It was fascinating.
To what degree are the various major world religions okay or not okay with what we could call, say, play or the commercialization of the faith in its varying degrees, if we talk about Islam, Judaism, Buddhism, Hinduism, and so forth? We hear, of course, a lot in the news about Islam, mm-hmm. allowing no depictions of the Prophet Muhammad mm-hmm. whatsoever. So would that be one of the most limiting religions in terms of this type of thing?
That's a good question. I think that when we looked at the board games and the kinds of board games, the kinds of play involved, a lot of the games that were related to Islam were more like knowledge-based games, more like, a Trivial Pursuit type of game, or perhaps a chase game, where the goal was to get somewhere first, right? Or to deal with important commodities throughout the Middle East. There were some kind of incongruous pairings that we wondered about. For example, the association with the word fun and the Hajj. And we were kind of wondering ourselves how that played out among the communities.
Right. Do you have to be sanctioned by Islam or the Christian church or any particular church to bring out a board game concerning that church?
Not that I know of, but we do have one game called Divinity, which has the official Pope stamp of approval for the game. And when I showed the game to a former colleague of mine, David Hunter, he took a look at some of the questions and said that they were difficult questions that even he would have to think twice about answering. So that's a pretty hard game with a rather steep learning curve, but it's a beautifully designed game.
Professor Beto, we have to take a short break. We'll be right back as we talk further about retail religion. Nikki Beto is the author of Toying with God, the World of Religious Games and Dolls. When we come back, we'll be talking with Mindy Uttermark. She's the owner of Stepping Stones Christian Bookstores in Grinnell and Marshalltown. Want to find out, probe a little bit more to find about the value of these games and toys. Have you run across a religious game or toy that you think is especially good or especially bad? Let us know. 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100, or The Exchange at iowapublicradio.org. Back in 1 minute. And we're toying with God, so to speak, on our program today. This is The Exchange. I'm Ben Kiefer, talking about the demand for religious games and toys that is growing, finding out what kind of faith-based games and toys are out there, what's driving the demand. Joining us, Professor Nikki Beto of the Religious Studies Program at Iowa State University, director of that program, author of the new book, Toying with God, The World of Religious Games and Dolls. Joining us now in our discussion, Mindy Uttermark. She is the owner of Stepping Stones Christian Bookstore in Grinnell and Marshalltown, two stores there. Mindy, welcome to our program.
Thank you, Ben.
You've been listening to the first part of our conversation, so tell us about some of the most popular, notable religious games or toys that you sell in your stores.
Well, anything with VeggieTales is always popular. They come in all different types of games and action figures.
For those not acquainted, tell us about VeggieTales. They are vegetables who are faith-based vegetables with lives and stories. And
they became popular through the DVDs. The DVDs are the top-selling item. But, of course, there's spinoffs of all those different things in toys, like we said before.
And they help us learn values and morals and lessons
exactly,
and so forth.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So those are big sellers. What else do you have?
Well, we have board games. We have the trivia games like Outburst and Scattergories, the Bible version of those. Those are always fun. Mm-hmm. Journeys of Paul. A new one is Decalogue that talks about the Ten Commandments. Apples to Apples for the younger kids. And then as far as toys, we have the God Girls, which are like a Barbie doll.
What do they look like, the God Girls?
Yeah, they're like a Barbie doll, but they have, instead of having some of the Barbie dolls anymore, a little more scantily clad, these have inspirational T-shirts, and the girls can enjoy dressing them up just like a Barbie doll.
So the same basic physique, if I can put it that way.
Yes, basically.
Okay. What else? Do you sell the action figures, the Moses, Jesus action figures?
We don't have those. We have the VeggieTale action figures, and that's been the most popular ones that we sell.
How long have you owned these Christian bookstores?
Well, the one in Grinnell has been 8 years, and we just opened the Marshalltown store April 1st.
So in these 8 years, has there been increasing items? We're talking about separate from the books that you sell. Have there been increasing demand for toys and games?
I would say it's been pretty constant. I think parents and Sunday school teachers are constantly looking for ways to help children learn biblical principles as well as just growing in their spiritual walk as well. And anytime we can give them alternatives, that's a positive thing.
Mm-hmm. So you have customers coming in who are looking for what? What's on their minds?
Well, I think with society as it is, I think we've seen a moral decline, and I think they're constantly looking for ways to give children a positive influence, and they do that with toys along with the books and the movies and music. But anything they can provide for their children that they interact with on a daily basis, a positive alternative.
So the battle against moral decline, Professor Beto, do you see that as a driving force here as well?
Oh, yes, definitely. I think that Mindy is absolutely right when she's pointing to some of these things as alternatives to pieces of material artifacts, games, toys, dolls that parents see as quite a bit more challenging, and even some people view as threatening. The dolls are a good example. I'm very curious about the God Girls, and want to check them out now. But one of the things we found out in looking at dolls was that there's actually a lot of even political controversy around dolls like Barbie and the Bratz dolls, which I understand are off the market now.
Hmm. How do you determine, Mindy Utermark, how do you determine whether a certain religious game or a toy is appropriate for your shop? Imagine you go to trade fairs. You are have catalogs sent to you from wholesalers. Some of the stuff fits in your shop and some of it does not. How do you determine that?
Well, our market is primarily Protestant. However, we also service the Catholic market as well, and it's a little bit larger in our Marshalltown service area versus Grinnell. So I try to look at those items that I think our customers will feel good about using with their children. And a lot of times it's my customers will come to me and say, oh, I heard about or read about this. Can you get it? And so that always is great, because then that's one of our number one things, is trying to help find the products that our customers are interested in.
Can you think of a game or a toy that you've run across or someone has solicited you to sell that you would say is something you wouldn't? It's just objectionable in some way.
I honestly haven't had a game or a toy that anyone has objected to.
Well, maybe Professor Beto can offer an example. I see in your book you have nunchucks.
No.
Tell us about nunchucks.
Nunchucks. There's a whole subculture of nun toys and games, and most of them are tongue in cheek, and you know, like the Nunzilla doll, you wind her up and she spits fire.
Right, here it is. I've got the page.
You've
open in
it.
Your book. Say your prayers. No one is safe from the wrath of Nunzilla. This fire-breathing, wind-up sister trudges straight out of the Catholic school student's nightmare like a determined disciplinary force with green eyes blazing and sparks flying from her mouth. So
fortunately, most of the nuns that I know have a really good sense of humor. One of my colleagues who is a nun, in fact, said that her sister frequently gives her these kinds of gag gifts when she finds them. And they're all over the place. The nunchucks, the boxing nun, the Nunzilla toys. I recently found a toy down in Des Moines that was a nun clicker type of toy. You click it and it makes a noise, and on the front there's a nun with a ruler. So
here's one too, mentioned in your book, Professor Beto, looking good for Jesus items.
Yep.
A Jesus mirror figurine with a bubble bath, coin purse, lip balm, sparkle cream, and the slogan with these items is "Look your Sunday best, guaranteed to help you be worthy and get noticed by the King of Kings."
Yep, I've got that one. My office is pretty much a collection of these things. I've gotten them as gifts too over the past few years. One of my students found a kind of a plaque or a little statue of Jesus in which the eyes follow you around the room. So that's a little disconcerting.
What do you see, Mindy Udermark, of the value of these toys and games?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, we all learn differently. Some of us learn, you know, we're visual or audio, some want hands-on. So toys are just another way in which we can learn, especially for those, and especially with children who want to, you know, learning with the hands-on. And just as we are all physical, intellectual, and spiritual beings, this is a way to help us grow as we walk down our spiritual walk as well.
Do you think that some people, because it is in the area of fun and play, that there might be concerns out there that, you know, this is not a game. This is serious. This is faith. This is our eternal soul or whatever, and that it certainly shouldn't be made fun of, but also we shouldn't be dealing in such a light fashion with it.
Well, I think God gave us a sense of humor, and so I think people tend to think religion is all serious, but it's not. If you have a relationship with God, just like you have a relationship with anyone else, you know, it's going to be all aspects. So I think sometimes it helps to realize that it's not all serious, that you can learn in a fun way as well.
We've got just short of a minute before we have to go to a break. Professor Beto, did you find in your work that there were people with a lot of problems with some of these items?
There were a few that we interviewed who had some reservations about things. But for the most part, what we've found is that people tend to react with delight and sometimes surprise that there are board games and toys out there. Some of them, you know, that range from the kind of serious educational sorts of toys to the absolutely just have a good time and have fun kinds of games and toys.
Professor Nikki Beto is with us, Toying with God, her new book, The World of Religious Games and Dolls, of Iowa State University. She's the director of the Religious Studies Program. There, Nikki Beto will stay with us for the second part of the program. I want to thank Mindy Udermark for being with us, owner of Stepping Stones Christian Bookstores, located in Grinnell and now also in Marshalltown. Mindy, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
When we come back, Bob Stouffer will join us, superintendent of Des Moines Christian School, to talk about what we can learn from these faith-based games and toys. And we'd like to have you join our conversation as well. What does faith have to say about religious games or toys? What does your faith have to say about it? Have you run across a religious game or a toy that you think is especially good or bad? 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100, or email us, theexchange@iowapublicradio.org. We're also on Twitter, @IPRTalk. We'll be back in just a few minutes. And we're back with The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer, talking about the demand for religious games and toys, which is growing. We're looking at the faith-based games and toys that are out there, what's driving demand, and whether they're educational, what purpose they serve. Nikki Beto is with us, associate professor of and director of the Religious Studies Program at Iowa State University, author of the new book, Toying with God, The World of Religious Games and Dolls, co-authored with Rebecca Sachs Norris, joining us from our studio in Ames. We'd like to have you join our conversation. Have you run across a religious game or a toy you think is especially good or bad? What does your faith have to say about religious games or toys? 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100, or email us, theexchange@iowapublicradio.org. Now we want to talk a little bit about how youth respond to such games and toys. How much do they learn about their faith? How does it shape their faith? Joining us now, Bob Stouffer. He is the superintendent of Des Moines Christian School, which offers education from preschool through secondary school in the Des Moines area. He's in our studio in Des Moines. Bob Stouffer, welcome to the program.
Ben, nice to join you. It's an honor to be with Iowa Public Radio.
Great to have you on our show. What sorts of toys and games do you have in classrooms at Des Moines Christian School?
Well, we certainly have a variety of games from all the way through preschool up to the high school level. I remember when I was an English teacher that I frequently used games. It's a great way to visually engage students in their own learning, to mix things up so that there's some variety in what they're learning.
So give me a favorite of yours.
Of religious games or any game?
Yeah, a religious game that you would use in Des Moines Christian School.
I think probably the more frequent game would be a trivia game, a board game where students are competing and answering questions and enjoying each other's answers and determining what the right answers are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You were going to mention another sort of game or toy?
I think in the younger children's grades, you're going to see more things that are of a visual nature where they can grasp the character from a Bible story and can remember it more readily than just the words on a page. We see a lot of books, a lot of children's books that are used throughout the children's experience, including all the way through high school.
Here's the voice of the Jesus action figure. Let's have him recite a little bit of some words here. This is the Jesus action figure.
Mark 12:31. Love others as much as you love yourself.
So the Jesus action figure reciting Bible verses, would we find that in your elementary level?
I've not myself witnessed that as a superintendent. I'm not necessarily in the classrooms every day, but I can imagine that there are some action figures out there that teachers are using those. And the way that that was just expressed, I think, is a good way to meet the learning modalities of any student. You can see the doll, so you meet the visual learner. You hear the doll, and that auditory learner is honored. And if you get a game involved with it as well, the kinesthetic part of their learning is also engaged.
Mm-hmm. What criteria do you and your teachers use to determine whether a Christian game or a toy is suitable for a classroom?
Certainly, like any organization, we have mission, vision, and values that guide what we do and every decision that's made instructionally or programmatically at Des Moines Christian. And if it met the mission, vision, and values of our school, then we would certainly embrace any tool, any game, any toy that would allow us to do our jobs better. I think technology is an open venue for this as well. I'm sure we're going to be seeing more and more of these kinds of applications of learning through visuals and auditory kind of thing.
Are kids in your classrooms at whatever level playing Christian video games?
I'm not aware that they are, and that's one concern that I have. Our students, if you look at the research, Christian kids are pretty much enamored by the same type of media that non-Christian kids are. So there's some pretty, what I would call, anti-biblical, anti-Christian media out there, and I'm concerned that that's happening. And I'm not aware that they're playing Christian video games. I'm certainly aware that they're playing non-Christian video games.
Join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100, as we talk about retail and religion, 1-866-780-9100. Or The Exchange at iowapublicradio.org. Going to Ben, who is also in Des Moines. Good afternoon, Ben.
Hi.
Yes, go ahead. What comes to mind for you?
Well, you were talking about the Christian video games. I listened to a program, it seems like maybe about a year ago, which indicated that Rick Warren of the Saddleback Church Group was actually involved in developing Christian video games, which I think they may have kind of abandoned it because they were looking at sort of Christian warriors that were destroying, you know, evil enemies and actually using some of the same, you know, machine guns and things that, you know, it sounded pretty violent. So I was curious about whatever happened with that and whether any of your presenters today were aware of what Rick Warren had tried to do with that.
I think this might be a good question, and generally speaking, the video game question for Professor Beto. Did you cover this in your book as well?
Not as much. This was, we mentioned how video games, board games, comic books, animated movies, live action movies, all of these things, a book series, all of these things in this world are kind of interrelated. In other words, they spin off in multi directions. You might have a book series like the Left Behind book series that spins off a video game, a board game. You might have an animated series on TV that will spin off its own game, spin off its own novels. So they move back and forth between different media. One of the things that that we did find a little bit of research on was the controversy surrounding the Left Behind video game series. And I've had some extensive conversations now with the people who produced the series, who are coming out, I think, with their second and maybe third versions of the game. So they're quite happy with the way that things are moving, and they've buffered some criticism. Some of it seems to have been leveled unfairly. I don't know, since I've not played or seen the game myself. One of the things that we found out also in this regard was the guy who developed Vatican II, which is a pretty good game to play. We've had students.
Is this a board game or a video game?
This is a board game. Mm-hmm. This is a board game, and we've had students in our college religious studies classes play these games to see what they can learn about the different world religions from playing the games. Vatican II developers are trying now, I think, to make some video games that capture various moments in the history of Christianity. And I'm not sure where they're at in their development, but they're working on it.
Tell us about the religious game or toy that you think is especially good or bad, 1-866-780-9100, or The Exchange at iowapublicradio.org. An email from Christopher in Des Moines. Christopher writes, in the Valley Junction District in Des Moines, I have seen several Jewish games for sale at a toy shop. In particular, these interesting games and puzzles feature plastic and wooden models of food and items so that children can play and learn about the Jewish Sabbath as well as Hanukkah and other parts of the Jewish festival year. So there's an interesting one, and a similar one for a Christian school, I imagine, are in use at your school as well. Bob Stouffer.
Yes, I think that children really enjoy learning when they can see and engage and actively interact regarding their faith. And clearly Christianity is a religion that's highly visual. We think about God creating our vision, one of the greatest senses that we have. And he told us to remember stories by stones and altars, and he himself fashioned a rainbow for our remembrance. Communion is certainly a sacred memory, but toys for children, when appropriately offered, really do offer great learning opportunities.
Do parents of your students ever come to you with concerns or questions about the specific toy or board game that the child might experience at school?
I think most of our teachers make really good decisions about the tools and the toys that they use in their classrooms, and I've never heard personally a complaint. That doesn't mean that somebody, one of the principals, hasn't fielded that, but I normally hear about that. We're in a small enough community that that would be the case. And, you know, I think sometimes Christians get the reputation that we're kind of stuffy and we don't like to have a good time, and we're known more from what we're against rather than what we're for. But I would say the very Spirit of God being inside you allows you to have a sense of humor. I know I'm my father's son and my grandmother's grandson. I've got kind of a wacky sense of humor, and I like to have fun, and I like to play games. And And I think kids like that, and I think most of the people in our community, if you'd walk into our school, you think, these are like normal kids that just have a great time and they play games too.
Mm. Professor Beto, what can the study of these religious games and toys, what has it told you, and can it tell us about the relationship between religion and commerce, or religion and consumerism?
One of the things that I think that Rebecca and I discovered in putting this book together was that the relationship between religion and play and fun and humor and commerce is a complex one. It's very complicated and very closely intertwined, which kind of surprised us. We probably came to the book not realizing where some of our journey would lead us, and what we found was a lot more exciting and a lot more interesting than we thought we were ever going to find. There are so many perspectives on these games and toys. Educational, people are looking at them to, you know, as alternatives to violent and gritty and kind of sleazy cultural behaviors that they want to use these things to encourage their children to have a more positive attitude mm-hmm. about things and to learn about their religion. Other folks are just kind of taking this stuff and they're obviously playing with these things satirically. And using humor. And sometimes the humor is not religiously, it's not antithetical to religion. Sometimes the humor is like both Mindy and Bob have said, is just part of being a human, being a mm-hmm. person, and incorporating humor into religion as well. But it's been a very, very interesting look. We've also raised some serious questions in the book about the role of commerce and how commerce and ethics are sometimes at odds with one another. For example, if your doll is being produced in a place which has very bad labor relations and maybe even child labor, I mean, what does that make you resistant to using that doll? Do you at all raise questions about where the dolls are produced or where the toys are produced? What exactly is involved with that? The political aspect or dimension is also very interesting. Some of these dolls are banned in parts of the world, including the United States. We talked at length about Fula, which was produced by a Syrian company called New Boy. Well, that doll would not be sold in the United States because Syria is one of the countries that we don't do business with.
And Fula is a female doll, a girl doll with a headscarf?
Yes. She's sold with a variety of accessories. She's got probably as many accessories as Barbie, with a few exceptions. She's very much like Barbie. The two we found were made of the same materials. They're the same height. Actually, we found articles and resources that suggested they are made by the same subcontractors in China. There's really one measurable difference between Fula and Barbie, and Fula is marketed in the Middle East as a kind of anti-Barbie. There have been several attempts to market anti-Barbies. Dolls that are really designed to undercut the Barbie market. And sometimes that's been successful, and most of the time it's not.
Mm-hmm. We have an email from Chris in Shuiville. Chris writes, "I'm an atheist living in Shuiville and have concerns about religious toys that go beyond the humorous and purely didactic spheres you've been discussing. Please have your guests address the carefully constructed, tightly reasoned argument made by science advocates like Richard Dawkins, who posit that young children, those most likely to play with these toys, are obviously too young to make rational decisions about something as powerful and life-affecting as a religious doctrine or creed." So there we go off into atheism. I don't know if you have any reaction to that. Obviously, if you send your child to a Christian school, that's probably not a concern.
Well, it's important for us at our school to help students understand multiple worldviews, and you have to understand other people in order to have reasonable, joy-filled interactions with them. We're not going to avoid the issues of atheism or the religions of Muslim or Hindu. We want to talk about those things openly because we're called to be in but not of the world and to engage the world in a way that it makes helps us make more sense of our own religion, Christianity.
Mm-hmm. I want to go back to Bob Stouffer with you to something that Nikki Beto mentioned about the new media. We have so many things, so many examples out there of new media with really trashy morals, bad mm-hmm. values mm-hmm. out there. Do you see this as a battleground that if the Christian producers would get out there and produce more new media to capture the imagination of our children, that might improve the situation?
It's definitely a spiritual battleground. The culture makes money. This is where the professor is mentioning how religion and commerce come together. And if there's a demand, then people who want to make money are going to try to meet that demand. And regrettably, as I said earlier, our Christian youth are as drawn to very ungodly sources as anybody else. And if there are somebody who's producing first-rate video materials or other toys or games that would engage them better, certainly that would be something that they could turn their attention to that would have a more positive effect on their spiritual development. Unfortunately, though, I'm the same as anyone else. I'm an adult and consider myself to be a fairly mature Christian, but I'm easily swayed by the world's messages. And if I'm not intentional, I can fall down that slippery slope the same as anybody else.
Bob Stouffer, superintendent of Des Moines Christian School, along with Nikki Beto, associate professor and director of religious studies at the Iowa State University. Bob Stouffer, do you have any religious games or toys at home?
Oh, well, I have the whole series of VeggieTales. I have a 23-year-old daughter and a 15-year-old daughter, both of whom were raised on those videos. And actually, I enjoy, too, a lot of the humor that's put into those videos appeals to an adult mm-hmm. audience the same way as Disney appeals to adults to sit in the room and to learn as well. We have a Bible trivia game that's really an enjoyable thing for me. I'm not sure that when my daughters were younger, they really wanted to sit down and delve into the what I would sometimes declare the minutia of the faith. But still, an opportunity for families to come together and to enjoy each other's company and to not be separated because of media. I think one of my major issues in the world today is all of the things that have been constructed and made, created, invented to make our lives easier. All this technology has actually divided us. We sit in front of screens, whether it's a video game or a text message or a social networking site, and we may be sort of interacting, but it's always so superficial. Anything like a game or a toy that would bring a family together would cause us to become closer relationally, that's important.
Laura from Cedar Rapids writes us an email. She says, when my children were small, they're now college-aged, she writes, we were frustrated trying to find games that were religiously sound without the right-wing political baggage that so often comes with Christian products, as well as the production quality of the games. My boys loved Bible baseball, but the game was not well made and did not hold up well. We were stymied in trying to find a replacement when it eventually fell apart. An interesting problem there, Professor Beto. I don't know if you have Bible baseball in your collection, but do you find that in some of these religious products, the political gets mixed up in the religious message?
Oh, it does. It does. And not in all of them, but in some of them. I think it's inevitable. What Bob was talking about, there are some websites that talk directly about the battle of the toy box and are very much concerned with presenting toys that children of all ages can play that are perhaps more wholesome than and certainly more religiously themed than secular toys. There are some really good examples of games, I think, that are very well made, like Vatican II and Settlers of Canaan, which was based off of the award-winning Settlers of Catan book. Journeys of Paul, which Mindy mentioned, is also a very good game. There are games that we've found that actually have wrong answers in some of the
Did you think of an
games.
Example?
Well, I think it's called Enlighten or maybe Enlightenment, something like that. But we were playing these games in a classroom, and students would raise their hands and say, oh, is this game correct? I mean, this answer, what exactly? We thought that there was a different answer to this question. And we'd look over and say, yes, you're right. So we made another game of catching the mistakes that occasionally happen in a kind of a Trivial Pursuit type game, a knowledge-based game.
Nikki Beto, we have just less than a minute left. I wanted to leave the final remarks to you and ask you, where do you see this taking us?
Oh, well, for me, I think that it's an ongoing journey, and I'm learning more and more about games. I'm finding new games all the time, and I'm also taking a cautious dip into the world of video games. I haven't grown up playing them, but I'm learning about them from my students. So we may be seeing
specifically
things.
Religious video games?
Yes.
Okay, so maybe that's the next chapter we can check back in with you about.
Perhaps check back in a few years.
I know sometimes projects take longer than a week or two. Nikki Beto, I want to thank you again for joining us.
Oh, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Nikki Beto is author, along with Rebecca Sachs Norris, of Toying with God, The World of Religious Games and Dolls. She's associate professor and director of the Religious Studies Program at Iowa State University. Also, thanks to Bob Stouffer. Bob, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Superintendent of Des Moines Christian School, which offers education from preschool through secondary school. The Exchange is produced by Lindsay Moon, Catherine Perkins, Jeff Schmidt, and Alex Hoyer, production assistants today from Christoph Mai. We also had help from Michael Yeager in Ames and John Pemble in Des Moines. Podcasting and on-demand audio available at iowapublicradio.org. The Exchange is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.